Acts chapter 2, verses 41 to 47. So then those who had received his word were baptized. And that day there were added about 3,000 souls. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. And many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together and with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we are delighted that we could remember your death, burial, resurrection, and coming again through communion. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the true church of Jesus Christ. And we thank you that we can go to the word of God so we can understand that. And I pray that once again, you would use the word of God in each of our lives this morning as you challenge us. We thank you for it, and we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. Membership. That is the title of the message. Let me say, this is the final message on this mini-series on the true church. By no means have we exhausted everything, but we have certainly covered enough things to give us a good understanding and a quick understanding of what should be going on in the true church of Jesus Christ. We have seen that the key to it is that it's an organism. It is people. It is believers in Jesus Christ. Lord willing, next week, we will go back to our study of the gospel according to Luke. And for those of you who have forgotten, we're in chapter 6, so we will be picking up in Luke chapter 6 next week, Lord willing. Church membership often brings different things to mind and means different things and has different requirements as you think of church membership. For example, for some, the thought is you need to give so much money to be a church member. For some, it's the signing of a covenant. To be a church member, you need to sign a covenant. Others, and sometimes it's a combination of these things, you need to take classes on membership and church membership. Then there's interviews, and you certainly have to sometimes commit a certain amount of time to volunteer. And when we think of membership, a lot of that comes to our mind and many other things. But there's also questions that very frequently come, even within Christian circles, when we hear the word membership. For example, let me just give you a couple here, and that is it really necessary? Is church membership really necessary? Is it really? What's the big deal about church membership? And a very common one that comes up is this. Where is church membership in the Bible anyway? Where is it? Is it simply a requirement that has to do with state law and has to do with incorporation? Very commonly you hear that among believers. Another one that not often comes up is, you know, when you talk about church membership, doesn't it really, Pastor Dan, create tiers within, and I'm not talking about crying tiers, but tiers or levels within the church itself, whereby we begin to think, well, they're a first-class Christian because they're members. And then there's a second-class tier, and then there are those who really aren't members at all, and they're on this other tier of membership. And doesn't it, just by its nature, when you talk about membership, create tiers and divisions and problems? I believe a lot of the wrong concepts that come when we talk about membership are a result of confusion about the idea of membership itself and the wrong concept of the very things that you and I have been studying. And what is that? The local church. And I believe a lot of confusion comes because people don't understand it. And let me give you some simple things right away. When it comes to membership, part of the reason there's a misunderstanding is because of the concept of the local church as being a service provider. What do you mean? A lot of people that today in professing Christendom that even attend on a regular basis have the concept of the local church as being a service provider. It's like signing up for AAA or AAA, right? I'm a member of AAA, and when I need them, on the phone, and bang, respond, come on, now it's your turn, I need you. And other than that, it's just a membership card in my pocket and to be put away, all like joining BJ's, you know, and just to pick on somebody, that's all. And it's we think of church membership that way, that is something you sign up for. It's really not necessary. I don't have to join BJ's. But if I do, they just need to be there. They provide me with a discounted amount that I can pay for goods when I go, or I can get cheaper gas if I have this membership. And if I have a membership in a church, well, then I can get some of these benefits from them. And we also have the concept that when it comes to the local church, membership's not important anyway because you can't trust leadership. And, you know, it doesn't matter because leadership's just out for running this thing, and it's not important at all because I can't really trust the leadership. So I like attending and feed me the word of God, but when it comes to membership, that's where I draw the line with things. And then there's the concept that the local church is nothing more than an organization that's really after your money. And by the way, that's been created by the church itself. Throughout the world, and that's why people have that concept. It's always asking for money, 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 and so I don't even want to commit to being a member because then I got to commit certain amounts of money, and certainly among Christians today is the concept that they even want 10% of my money, you know, and I mean, come on, you know, I mean, they're always into my pocketbook, so I don't want anything to do with membership. Let me get all the benefits I can, but don't let me be committed. And so we have these misconcepts that are there. Some see it that it's not necessarily spiritually, that the concept of membership is nothing that's scriptural at all. They can come and go as they please. There's no accountability. The concept today, very common, is that without being a member, this is wonderful because I can church hop. I can go here, I don't like it this week, I go someplace else. They have a better program in another month, I'll bump into that one. And you get into these common thinking, this common thinking on church membership and what it is. And not only that, but if I'm not a church member, I can be a very good complainer. Because then I can talk behind the scenes, I can argue with what I don't like, and nobody can do anything. I'm not a member. I don't need to worry about what they think because I don't support them. And if they find out about it, so what? I just move on. And that is very common today when it comes to the idea of understanding church membership. And I think that's reality. But reality is, when it comes to church, and we should know this now, when it comes to the local church, there should be absolutely no doubt in anyone's mind here that has been coming even for this series, that the local church is God's plan. It's not man's plan. It is God's idea from the beginning. It is God's plan, and it is absolutely vital. The local church is vital to the spread of the gospel. It is vital to the building up of the body of Christ and the caring for the saints. That is God's design, to use believers in that way. Now, in addressing what I have, I'm sure there's already a lot of questions and people are looking for clarification. Let me tell you a couple of very important distinctions that we need to know right away, even as I continue to talk about membership. Let me deal, first of all, with state government. And I say state because we're in the state of Massachusetts. Listen carefully. State government is an agent of the Lord, nothing more. An agent, according to Romans. They are here to protect its citizens. And by the way, all that's going on in our country right now, let me tell you, if you watch the inauguration, you saw what I've been saying for years. The President of the United States only has two responsibilities. And number one is to protect the citizens of the United States. That is his primary responsibility. And then secondly, to defend the Constitution of the United States. Everything else is frizzle. And that is also true with state government as an agent. They are here to protect the citizens, and they are here to minister justice. We have studied that. That's why they're here. What does that mean? When you think about state government and the concept of even church membership, and it's only because of state government does not have any biblical jurisdiction to determine the membership, first of all, of the true church of Jesus Christ. Secondly, nor does it have the biblical jurisdiction to dictate the beliefs of any local church or the rights of its membership. It doesn't have that. It can't mandate what the rights are. Now, it can set up laws for the way you can meet and how you don't break this and break that. But you need to understand that, so the concept of the only reason you have the idea of church membership is because the state is phony. They're just an agent of God. Nothing more, nothing less. Second distinction, and I put it second because I wanted to deal with the state. Listen carefully. Membership in the Church of Jesus Christ, membership in the true church that we've been studying, and this is the last message on it. By now you know this. Membership into the true church comes only through grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. End of discussion. The only way a person becomes a true member of the body of Jesus Christ is because by God's grace that he offers, people have come to understand that it's by believing alone, not by works of righteousness, in the person and work specifically of Jesus Christ, who is the way, truth, and life, who both we just celebrated, died on the cross for our sins, rose from the dead, and is coming again. And it's exclusive in him. That is the only way a person is placed into the body of Christ and has membership in the true body. You can join 1,000 churches, 1,000 denominations, and never be part of the body of Jesus Christ. You need to understand that. Now, membership in any local church or denomination, and we're talking membership, and please get this right away, I'll repeat it later, really is centered on three issues. One, it has to do with affirmation, and many people never think of that. Affirmation, hold on to that. Secondly, identification. And thirdly, submission. It has to do with affirmation, identification, and submission because you are a believer, so it benefits you. Secondly, it has to do with the local representation and body of believers that are united under biblical leadership designed by God. So the first part is it has to do with me, with affirmation, identification, and submission. The second thing, it has everything to do with the body of Christ, specifically its local representation and the biblical leadership that God has appointed. And then thirdly, it also has to do usually with identification and acceptance and belief in what is usually referred to as a statement of faith. Now, let's talk about the scriptures in the early church for a moment. I want you to understand that when you go to the early church, there is clearly identification and association with the local church. What was involved was this. People professed faith in Christ. They were baptized by water. We've already talked about that. That was the very first act of obedience. And then they associated with the brethren immediately. They saw it as a necessity. Why? Because of affirmation, accountability, and involvement. It was immediate. It was the desire of a true believer. There was no such concept of somebody coming to Christ and then I don't want to be associated with a local church. There was no concept of I want to know Jesus Christ as my Savior, but I won't submit to local leadership and be a part of it. It did not exist. They knew who they were. They knew who was part of their group, and they kept some type of roles on it. Roles meaning a ledger, meaning some type of accountability as to who was there and who was not there. And it is everywhere in Scripture. In fact, in our text, let's look very quickly. I want you to understand this. In verse 41, there were about how many? 3,000. You say that's pretty big. Yes, but they knew. They knew. Watch verse 43. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. Those people that got saved and came to Christ and were baptized, they knew who they were and they were together. Look at verse 44. And all those who had believed. They didn't have a situation where, yeah, I believe, but I don't want to be a member of your local church, and I'm just going to come. No. They were all together. Verse 45. It says that they were sharing, in verse 45, them, they were sharing with all as anyone might have need. What does that tell you? That tells you that they were all involved and they knew the ins and outs of one another intimately. Now, I'm not talking about a bedroom. I'm talking about they knew what was going on in the life. And this one has real physical needs. And this one needs to be prayed for. And this one, they were absolutely together and all together in a total sense that we are the representation of Jesus Christ. In verse 47, it says, look at it, it's just overwhelming in our own text. They were praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord was adding to their number. Day by day, those who were being saved. It's everywhere in Scripture. Go with me to Acts chapter 1, right nearby. Acts chapter 1, verse 13. You see what is named there in verse 13. All these names, did they know what was going on? Yeah, Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, Alphaeus, Simeon, the Zealot, Judas, the son of James. All these with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer, and along with, notice this, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus. Do you think that they were associated together and they knew exactly who was there? Absolutely. You say, I don't know, that's about your opinion. Really? Get down to verse 15. And at that time, Peter stood up in the midst of the brethren, a gathering about 120 persons. How did they know that? They knew who they were. They were all associated with it, and they even knew approximately the number of them. You find that throughout Scripture. You go to Acts chapter 6, my reading this morning. What do you find there? You find a local church that knew that the Hebrew women, there were some problems with the Hellenistic Jews. And the widows weren't being taken care of. And they met among themselves. They knew about Stephen. They knew about Philip. They all knew what was going on, and they were all associated. There was no concept of, no, I'm not going to go that far. I don't want them to know me and know all about me. And there was a zeal and a desire. Turn with me to Romans 16. Romans 16. And the verses that I'm giving you today are just a pittance of what you find in Scripture for those who say that there's no such thing as church membership in Scripture. Romans 16, look at verse 1. I commend unto you our sister, Phoebe. Really? How did they know that? She's a servant in the church, which is, guess where? At Cenchrea. They knew exactly who she was, where she was associated, right? You get on to verse 3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. Well, just a couple of names, really? You think so, huh? Let's get on to verse 5. Also greet the church that's in their house. Greet Epaphras, my beloved, who is the first convert. You think they knew the detail? Verse 6. Greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junius. And on it goes, my kinsmen. Look at all those names. Verse 9. Urbanus, my fellow worker in Christ. They were naming. They knew, and these people are absolutely associated with the churches. It is overwhelming. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. It says, the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling. They're the ones that have been called. I'm writing to all the saints associated with that church. By the time you come to chapter 5 of the book, right? A lot of people know that. Go quickly over there. You come to chapter 5 of the book of 1 Corinthians, and it's actually reported that there's immorality among you, an immorality of such a kind that doesn't even exist among the Gentiles, that someone has his father's wife. And what does he say? Because they were associated with the church and they were all a part of the local church, Paul could write to them and say, pick out that person by name and deal with it and cast him out of the church. Why? Because they were all members of that local church. That's why. And you could go on and on. When you go into Philippians, go with me to Philippians next. Go with me to chapter 2. Just a couple more verses. And it's not going to exhaust even everything I've written down here. But Philippians chapter 2. When you come to verse 25, it says, but I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger. He came from that church. Epaphroditus. Why? Because he was associated with that church. He was a member of the true church of Jesus Christ and a part of this church ministering to Paul. You don't think they know what was going on? Go with me to Philippians chapter 4. Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. I urge Euodia and urge Syntyche to live in harmony. Was there a problem in the church? Yes. Did they know who they were? Yes. Were they associated with the church of Philippi? Absolutely. There was no back room. There was no people not associated. I'll give you one more verse. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 9. Chapter 5 is a great chapter on how to deal with widows. For example, look at verse 3. It says, honor widows who are widows indeed. Well, how do I know if it's a widow indeed? You get on to verse 9. A widow is to be put on the list only if she is not less than 60 years of age, having been a wife of one man. And on it goes. What's the point? It should be obvious to you. What? They kept a list. They even had a list of those who were widows indeed. They knew who they were, and they kept membership. They kept records. They kept an accountability of who was at those churches and what was going on. What is the point? They knew who they were. They knew who was there in the local church. And everybody that truly was a part of the church of Jesus Christ was a part of the local assembly and involved. Those who were believed were together and were accountable to one another. Why? Because it's God's design. It's God's design to bring people in the body of Christ, to bring them to a local church, and guess what? To have structure and leadership and accountability there. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, right to the heart of the issue. Obey your leaders and submit to them. Why? For they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do it with joy and not with grief, for this is unprofitable for you. Couldn't be any clearer. What's he saying? Get under the submission of the leadership that God has provided, period. They are the ones that God's instilled to watch over your soul. The deacons and the elders that, for example, were at Philippi that you read about in chapter 1, you've been studying that in your small groups, and you see that there was leadership there. They were the ones that the people that attended the church at Philippi were to submit to and be a part of and fully involved with no exceptions. Those that were the leaders of the church at Ephesus were not the ones overseeing those at Philippi. And if you were to take, and we did study, go to one more book, go to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. When we studied this book recently together and went through Titus, beginning in verse 5, notice this, Titus chapter 1, verse 5. It says, for this reason I left you in Crete. Why? That you would set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I directed you. You say that's all dealing with leadership. Absolutely. God designed to set up this local church, and he designed it to have elders to lead. Whether you like it or not, that's part of God's design. And when people got saved, they didn't disassociate with the church. They had an absolute desire to be part of that body, to be involved in that body, and to submit to the leadership of that organization, or that local body, sorry. And if you look at verse 10 in our text, look why it was so. For there's many rebellious men, empty talkers, deceivers, especially those of even the own circumcision. He says, we need that leadership. We need you together because there's too many people that are dividing the church of Jesus Christ and aren't even a part of it. And all they do is talk. That's pretty strong. If you were to look at the church of Corinth, you were to look at the church of Philippi, you were to look at the church of Ephesus, the churches throughout the region of Galatia, you would see the same exact thing all the way through our New Testament. There was no concept of coming to Christ and not fully being involved in the local assembly and part of everybody else. Now, you need to understand some things. As a believer, being part of the body of Christ, we are all part of one another. They understood that. That wasn't a difficult thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'll give you that as a whole reference so you can take the time. But particularly in verses 12 and 14, it says, we're not one member, we're many. But we're one body. And that whole text goes on to say, you cannot do without the body. Neither can the body do without you. Get it together there in Corinth. You all need to be working together. You cannot say, I don't need that one. I don't need this one. This one's not important. That gift isn't important. You don't think it's important, by the way? None of you this morning, for the most part, I should say most of you, weren't concerned about the church being opened. You weren't concerned about the lights working or the audio equipment. We're praying for that. How many of you, and don't raise your hands, but have been involved in taking care of the decorations that are here? But somebody is. Why? That's a gift. You came here and you enjoyed coffee time and so forth and just took it for granted. Do you just think you can come in and say, I don't want to be a member of Fellowship Bible Church, but pour it on, baby. Let everything come my way, except when I don't like it, and then I'm going to let other people know. You know what the real problem is as we go on? You're going to find out your desire is wrong, your thinking's wrong, and when it comes to an affirmation, you may be in trouble. What do you mean? I'll explain that in a minute. The local church, and I like the way someone put it, they put it this way, is an outpost. The universal church is part of the body of Christ, but when I accept Christ, and that's the only way I get into the true church, by faith alone, I become part of the universal body, but I can't be everywhere. Neither can I be with every believer. And that's why God designed the local church, as we've been studying, and it's an outpost. Why? Listen carefully to what I'm about to say. Because the local church was an affirmation that you say you're a Christian, and they say, yes, they are. And that's what went on in the early church. When they came, they wanted to be a part of it so that as they functioned, the leadership could say, yes, that person has the evidence that they truly are part of the body of Christ. And one of the biggest things was affirmation with the early churches, that they needed to know who were the true Christians and who weren't. And I'm going to tell you something. When Paul set aside the time to talk to the Ephesian elders, he said, the day is going to come, and I'm weeping with you, because even of your own midst, there's going to be people rise up, even out of the leadership, who don't belong. And he warned them. And he warned that in Corinthians, that those who are deceptive are looking good. They have the appearance of angels of light, and they're not. And so you need leadership, and you need the local body to be able to say, where is the evidence that you are who you say you are? That's called affirmation. Local church membership is for your benefit first. It's to help you to have the assurance that, yes, I am a child of God. Not just because the church says so, because those who are part of the body of Christ really can attest to it, and they see Christ working in my life. It's identification. And everybody that got saved in the early church wanted to be a part of that local church and identify. Yes, I want to identify with you because you are the people of God. And thirdly, submission. Why? Because it's God's design. God has ordained godly leadership. Now, there's a lot of local churches that don't have godly leadership. They don't even look at the qualifications of Timothy and Titus when putting a person in office. But where there's a local church that is taking that serious and has God appointed a leadership, it is your responsibility to submit to it. And I just read it out of Hebrews, but it's elsewhere found in Scripture. So membership locally in a local church is for your benefit to affirm that you truly are a Christian. It's also to help you understand that you are identified with the people of God, not just universally, but locally in what God's doing. And it also is a true act of submission as to whether you will follow the leadership that God has appointed. Secondly, church, local church membership not only benefits you, it benefits the body. Why? Because that's how we ought to be an encouragement one to the other. That is how we ought to minister to one another. That doesn't mean you can't minister to other people at other churches. But God has designed that you're attending here. This is where you should be ministering to the body. These are the people that you are closely associated with, and they need you just like you need them. It is also the place where discipline takes place. And that's another reason people don't want to get associated. There's no way in the world I want to be disciplined. Let me tell you something. Unless you're loved of the Lord, unless you belong to him, you're going to find out that those he loves, he disciplines. And the local church is part of that design. And I'm going to tell you something. Most churches in America that are calling themselves local churches do not discipline its membership. And that is unbiblical. We need to be concerned with one another. You ought to be thankful. Think of your own home. Aren't you thankful that you have parents that are concerned that aren't going to let you do anything you want? And they're going to be concerned for your safety, and they're going to be concerned for your life, and will tell you don't do this or do that. And if you go astray, they will try to correct it. I'm thankful my parents did that. And we ought to be thankful when a local church takes on that role. And thirdly, the community benefits. Local church membership benefits you, it benefits the church, and it also benefits the community. How? Because we're to be known by our love one for another. You might say, yeah, I want them to know how much I love the church in Africa. Really? Your neighbors are going to watch and see how you love the church in Africa? But I tell you something else. Those that are around you will watch how you love people at Fellowship Bible Church. Oh, that Pastor Dan, you know what he did now? And as your neighbor listens to that, they're looking and saying, and you're a Christian? That's how the body functions? Do you know that they're watching you with your love one for another because of how you respond in the local church? Let's deal with the practical as I close. Membership in the Church of Jesus Christ happens through faith in Christ alone. Membership in a local church should be automatic. It should be the desire. It was of the early church Christians. They wanted to be fully associated, accountable, and affirmed that they had believed the right things. And they became part of it and they entered in. Membership in a local church should be simple. It shouldn't be complicated. What does that mean? Number one, since it's affirmation, you should be a believer in Jesus Christ. That's why our membership here, you can't be a member of your local church, you're not a member of Jesus Christ. That should be automatic. You should have followed in water baptism. Sometimes that's the hang-up. Nobody's going to tell me I got to be baptized by water because water baptism doesn't save. You don't understand the scriptures. Water baptism doesn't save. But as an obedient child of God, it's the first thing that you will pursue. And third, a simple basic agreement with a constitution. Why? Because that's the basis of what we're trying to clarify that we believe. Does that mean there can't be some differences? No, that's part of what the misunderstanding is with membership. Somebody was talking this morning to me about even the rapture. And by the way, even mentioned the fact that the word rapture doesn't appear in the Bible. It doesn't. Doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Can you find the word Trinity in the Bible? You can't. Doesn't mean the Trinity doesn't exist, right? And we could go on, but see, that's how people, well, it doesn't say membership in the Bible. Does that mean it didn't exist? They kept roles. They knew who was there. They were accountable to one another. They knew names. We can have differences. And it takes a period of time. Why? I think today in this year and age, back then it was a clear distinction. They cut off their families and basically came to Christ and their lives are in jeopardy. Today people can bounce from church to church and hop along and just change and go in a whim and never be accountable to anybody. It takes a period of time that you should understand who the shepherds are. That you should understand leadership and that the leadership understands who you are. But after that period of time goes by, you should be willing and joyously and desiring to want several things. What? Affirmation of your faith. Accountability in your life to keep you on track. And you should be desiring to be part of what God is doing by exercising your gifts. All of that relates to church membership, local church membership. Church membership should not be a burden. If it's a burden to you, you have the wrong perspective. Not the church. You do. Because it isn't got anything to do with the state. They're just an agent of God. It's got to do with what God is doing in a local body. It's got to do where God has placed you. It should not exist that church membership is a result of a long list of rules and regulations. And sometimes churches come up with that. You have to be Baptist to be a part of this church. You have to do this. You have to not go here. You can't drink this. You can't eat this. You can't wear that. You can't do this. That is not how church membership was to be designed at all. Church membership was to be designed so that you would have affirmed your faith in Christ and you're part of the local work, plain and simple. If somebody can hit that, whosever phone it is. You should be a member somewhere. And I will go this far. I know of nothing in the New Testament that talks about people not being associated with the local church and its membership. Nothing. I challenge you to show me. What does that mean? If you have been coming to Fellowship Bible Church and this is your church and you're not a member, you should be. Shame on you. You say, but I don't believe in certain things. Then you know what? You should be where you can support the leadership and be behind it. It's that simple. It's that simple. You say, well, I really want to be behind the church, but there's this other church, but they're not doing what's right either. So you're the only one that's right. Right? Do you see any of that? Where all that went on wrong at the Corinthian church, and Paul addressed that he turned around and said, get out of there. No. In fact, just the opposite. What he said is straighten out those divisions in your church because you are the local representation. And he said, stop suing one another. And the person that is immoral, throw them out. You don't want them as part of that membership. That's what he said. Let the church come together. I'm there in your midst. Get them out. Why? To preserve the church of Jesus Christ. There is no excuse for you not being a member somewhere. You need to be a member of the body of Jesus Christ first, but you should be a part of the local church. And if God's designed you to be here, and that's a challenge to those of you that are visiting. If you're coming in and checking out Fellowship Bible Church, you should check out the leadership. You should check out the sincerity of what we're doing and whether we're preaching the word of God and doing what we should be doing. Perfect? No. I will never be perfect. You will never be perfect. No one will be perfect. You will never find the perfect local church. End of discussion. The only one that will be perfect is when we're all together in heaven. But in the meantime, if God's called you to be involved in this local church, you should be a member because you want affirmation. And I'll tell you something, just to let you know as a pastor, I do from time to time. I've had people leave here, and then the churches have notified me and say, can you affirm that that person was a member and so forth and their faith in Christ? And I want you to know that I've said, I can affirm that they were here, but not that they were a member, and I didn't see any evidence. That's a true story. You should be able to be here and say, it's evident in everybody else. You see the faith working and your desire is to be a part of it. Is it true that everyone else is wrong and you're the only one that's right? I don't think so. Is it true that everybody that attends a local church, church at Corinth, church in Jerusalem, church at Ephesus, they all agreed 100% about everything? Of course not. Of course not. They had the struggles like you and I have. But they were identified. They saw a desire to be a part of what God was doing, and they entered in. You will find, as you look at the churches of America, professing Christendom, that those who don't join a church, mark it down. You will find that they are the biggest talkers behind the scene and have all their excuses. Those that enter in are the ones that get criticized. Those are the ones that face the hardships. Those are the ones that carry the burdens. And those are the ones that make the mistakes. But they're part of the body of Christ and see that we need to be functioning together. If you're not a member of Fellowship Bible Church and you're attending here, it's our heart's desire that you become members. And that membership list today is added to because you should be a part of it. And if not, I mean that sincerely. We want you here. But you need to be a part of a church that God has called you to and that you can support. Don't just attend a church and then not get involved, because you will stand before Christ at the judgment seat of Christ and give an account, just like the leadership who will be able to say, I've done everything I can to get that person to get involved, Lord. They just wouldn't take it. I've done what I can, but you'll be answering for what you didn't do or how you didn't get involved in serving the body of Christ. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you and praise you for the time that we've had. Thank you for the patience of the people. And I pray, Father, that even when it comes to the practicality of local church membership, that you'd help us to see that the local church is your design. Leadership is your design. There's always differences. But help us, Father, to enter in. I thank you for this work. I thank you for all those who have not only started Fellowship Bible Church, but have gone before us and laid the foundation and given their lives to the work. Our founding members, I thank you and praise you for the members that we have here now that are so diligently involved in giving of their time and energy and resources to see your work continue in this community. And I pray, Father, you'd continue to add to the Church of Jesus Christ for salvation and continue to add to our numbers in a way that we see people entering in because they want to be a part of what you're doing, that they would receive the affirmation, that they would submit and have the identification. And then, Father, that we would be a shining light to the community around us as we exercise our gifts and show love one to another. Thank you for this time. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.